It is Wednesday, October 16th, and the international break is almost over. Music to my ears. We are back to club football in 48 hours. Actually, 46 hours now. 47 and change. And it can't. And it wouldn't be a Friday night in America, or excuse me, Friday night in Europe, without a Borussia Dortmund home match in the Bundesliga. I think this is their third Friday night appearance already. Unbelievable, but that's what we're going to kick off with on Friday. It's just good to have it back and to get back to business, back what we all love, club football, and to get this ridiculousness, all these international breaks out of the way. But we have to kick off this podcast with international news. We would be doing a disservice if we did not, because we have the biggest story in at least the last month of football to break today. And it is to finally find out who will be replacing the idiot known as Gareth Southgate for the Three Lions, the English national team, my beloved England behind Germany, of course, my beloved Three Lions behind the Eagle, of course, and the Four Stars. I have deep roots in England. My family, 54% of them, according to 23andMe, are from England. So I'm mostly English German, which that's why I go with England and Germany as far as my national teams, right? And the fact that I lived in Germany for almost 20 years. But Nick, you and I watched England, the Three Lions, destroy, decimate, disintegrate, annihilate, whatever you want to call it. We saw them do this to Finland this past weekend, and less than a week later, they have a new boss. The introduction press conference was today, I believe. You said you listened to it. Am I correct about that? We have the blank king himself, the blank king. For those of you and Tim, all you guys listening, can you figure out what the blank actually means? Because if you do, there's a prize at the end of that rainbow for you. But he is the blank king. Nick and I know him as that name. We love calling him that. He lives up to it every time he speaks. It's amazing. It's a word that will get you canceled quicker than Britney Spears' tour in Vegas. But
yeah,
he is the new manager of the Three Lions. One, Tommy T. Tuchel, guy we love on this show. We love and respect our Tommy T. You and I had a long talk about this today, Nick, and you and I both really respect what he does as a manager. We talked about his seasons at Dortmund. The greatest second-place finish of all time would have been German champion 43 out of how many times it was that they have had seasons in the Bundesliga. Only eight times before that, and they're all Bayern seasons, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, would he have not finished first. So you got to think that season, his first season with Dortmund, if the Pep Guardiola Bayern team does not exist, Tommy T wins the Bundesliga, and you know, we've been looking at him in a different light. But Ligue 1 champion, Champions League winner with Chelsea, Champions League runner-up with PSG, won the Bundesliga with Bayern. If it were not due to some shady refereeing, probably would have knocked off Real Madrid last season in that Champions League semifinal. Yeah. Who knows what happens in a rematch of the 2013 final between BVB and Bayern last season in the 2024 final, 11 years past that first time they met in the all-German Champions League final. A rematch of Bayern and Dortmund would have been must-see TV. Tommy T's guaranteed last match, because Bayern had already told him, even if you win the Champions League, sir, your bags are packed. We've cleared out your desk for you. Please leave the Sebnerstrasse building as soon as you hoist that trophy, which, by the way, would have been his second Champions League with as many clubs, so Bayern and Chelsea at that point. He's the only manager I can think of that would have been in that position that was shown the door, which is just speaks volumes about Bayern's mindset and mentality, truly. But was not to be, as I said, some shady refereeing, which is always the case when you play Real Madrid. But
big time.
Nick, he is officially the manager for the next 18 months of the greatest assembly of talent that the world, or the country, not the world, the country of England has ever known. Phil Foden, Trent Alexander-Arnold, Harry Kane, the list goes on and on. Saka, Manu, I'm not going to include Jordan Pickford because he is the one piece of garbage that they have.
Yes.
But Kyle Walker, Declan Rice, our boy Cole Palmer. It just goes on. Anthony Gordon, on and on and on. Just, I mean, their bench is just incredibly deep. Some players would be absolute starters in any other country in Europe, much less the rest of the world. But they are bench warmers in England because that's how good this team is on paper. Mm-hmm. And despite they having, Jesus Christ, I don't know what just took over there. despite them having one of the worst managers in international football, they made numerous finals, Nick. This team made numerous finals. European final against Italy at Wembley, they lost. A Euro 2024 final against Spain, they lost 2-1. Semifinals of the World Cup in Qatar, they lost. That's with Southgate as the manager. Nick, you've got to think with Tommy T and his immense knowledge of the game and his meticulous, and he's a game planner. This guy plans, man. He loves to game plan as much as he loves his number six CDMs, his holding midfielders and deep lying playmakers. He loves them. Yeah. Shout out to you, Julian Weigel. He really loved him at Borussia Dortmund. But he also, what he could do with a Declan Rice, I mean, in position, talking about Declan Rice being a deep lying playmaker, I think in sort of the same way that he is for Arsenal. You know, really, Nick, it's not that hard if you just watch these players play at their clubs how to utilize them. It really isn't. Like, I think that Pep Guardiola has kind of given you the blueprint on how to use Phil Foden, yet Southgate never figured it out.
Yeah.
You and I both commented on this about Harry Kane being almost like a false nine. He was at some points back in the defensive line playing passes. He doesn't know whether he's in midfield. He's a poacher. He's a poacher, tap-in king. He's a guy who you look to get a shot that, you know, hits the crossbar or the post and rebounds it, tap-in king. He is a murderous nightmare in the penalty box, and yet he's playing deep-lying midfield positioning and center-back positioning, full-back positioning. And you know, you could say, well, he's helping the link-up play. No, he is the guy. He's the guy you try to link up with, and he's in the back playing passes to Kyle Walker. You and I both said, what is he doing?
Yeah.
So, Nick, what are your initial thoughts on the German overlord?
Yeah.
I can't say that with a straight face.
Yeah.
The German overlord taking over. So, I guess here's two things. One, Germany has finally invaded England. It's taken a while, but they are here finally. And number two, if Tommy T takes England to a 2026 World Cup win, it'd be the first time that England has won anything on American soil in history. Revolution, yeah. War of 1812.
Yeah, they lost the revolution.
England would conquer America finally. But in conquering America and the World Cup final in New York City, they would conquer the world. So, Nick, what are your initial thoughts on Tommy T? Becoming the manager of the most talented team in England history.
Yeah, man, we did. It's funny, I forgot we watched that England match Sunday, man. I think we were paying more attention to the Spencer Rattler drama than we were paying attention to.
Yes.
To England.
The bids have stopped coming in for the Spencer Rattler rookie cards. People, one bad half of football and there goes your investment. So I think there's going to be a lot of upset sellers on eBay when their cards don't go for what they thought. And by the way, congratulations to the Gamecocks on the moral victory in Tuscaloosa. Huge win there, except it was a loss, but huge win nonetheless, you guys. But yeah, keep going about Tommy.
Yeah,
we did watch that match and we were paying attention to those cards.
Yeah, the only... Well, it was kind of, it was, So Finland did have their chances. They did score a goal. It's not like Finland were complete ass. I mean, Finland would beat Chile or Paraguay or something. You know, they'd beat, you know, the 20, 30, maybe not 20, but they'd beat 30 to 60. They'll beat those ranked teams. They're not totally terrible. But just England's too talented, man, as we know. But it was funny seeing Kane all the way next to a defender passing balls to Kyle Walker. I mean, we both are like, what is this man doing?
It's almost like a for fun experiment on FC 25 or something. Like, what would happen if I played Declan Rice in goal, or if I played Harry Kane at center back, or if I played Kyle Walker at striker?
Yeah.
It's like this, it's almost like you have to try to mess this up.
Yeah. Yeah, like I want to scream and yell for Kane to get up front, get back in the front, go to where the hell you're supposed to go. Poach your balls like you do. Go back to your poaching area and get back to your position. But yeah, it was a slaughter, man. We did see that, but you know, Tommy T has the whole world at his fingertips, man. All he has to do is put out the right lineup, make the right substitutions, and tactically not be an idiot.
Right.
And they should theoretically be one of the top three in odds, top four teams to win the World Cup or win any big tournament they're in, because this is England, man. I mean, they were bringing on Madueke and what's it? Ollie Watkins.
Ollie Watkins came on.
Yeah, these are all people who will start anywhere.
Ollie Watkins assisted that last goal, didn't he?
Yes. Yes.
Beautiful cross.
Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. And you got to say, man, they have people coming off the bench that will start anywhere else. The USA would gladly take Ollie Watkins and Madueke. Madueke was cooking that right side immediately as he came on.
Yes, those two substitutions came in and made an immediate difference for England.
Yes,
that's when it went from 1-0 to 3-0.
Yeah, really quickly. So that was big, and a lot of national teams don't have that luxury. And Southgate was just that bad to where even him being bad and making bad calls and substitutions, they still made it to finals. So all Tommy T has to do is just hold it together, man. Just hold it together.
That's what you and I said today when we were talking about this, that in spite of Southgate, that's how good England is. They make it to finals with a moron in charge.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and you can tell the people, I'm not like, Critty's been all about England for a while now, have I not?
Oh, yeah, they were going to win the Euros and all that.
And I was off by one match. I was off by one match. But I will say, I have been – like my two national teams have always been Germany and England. And then really kind of at a distance, I got pissed at Italy for a while because they ruined Germany's 06 World Cup as the host. That really did piss me off for a long time. It took me a while to get over that. But Italy's back in my good graces, and you know, I kind of hold them as a third. And then the United States is somewhere down there around eight. But anyways. So we talked a little bit about Tommy T's history, and we talked about we were talking about his sort of following in Jurgen Klopp's footsteps, Mainz, Dortmund, the Premier League, and all this stuff. And, you know, he made that one. We talked about this, and I said, you know, the talent he had at Dortmund when he first got there, Some of the talent that he got was not really talent that he wanted. And some of the players he wanted, he never got. Dortmund were still considered themselves not buyers at that point. They were sellers. They're in a much better financial position today, especially globally in terms of like their reach and kit sales. And now you have Marco Reus playing in MLS. So you have one of the greatest players in Dortmund history is playing over here, which, you know, his kit, from what I understand, at LA Galaxy, he's actually selling well. People know who Marco Reus is. It was at that time, Thomas Tuchel's first season, I believe, first or second season, Marco Reus was on the cover of FIFA 17. And they were starting to get kind of a global, and this is, by the way, Dortmund have won a Champions League at that point, and still that Thomas Tuchel team is kind of what put them on the map in terms of like okay, the World Cup winner Mario Götze plays for them, and Marco Reus plays for them, and Mats Hummels plays for them, and he's a World Cup winner. And you start to see like a really string of success with Dortmund, you know, perennial top four, always in the Champions League, always in the knockout stage. And Tuchel butted heads with the front office, and I don't blame him for it. While I support Dortmund, I was supporting him, Thomas Tuchel, that is, over their front office, because I think Hans-Joachim Watzke, I wrote a number of articles about him about being very polarizing because he's a cheap piece of shit and he won't spend money. And frugality will only get you so far. If you are Luton Town, or, and I hate to always bring them up, but they just rolls off the tongue, Luton Town. I don't know why, but yeah. Blackburn, Birmingham City, whoever, you're just trying to be in the black. Okay. You're trying to not be in debt, but Dortmund was already starting to have enormous success. Two Bundesliga titles under Klopp, a Champions League final under Klopp, the FA Pokal under Klopp. They were there, and Tuchel took that team minus Robert Lewandowski, who was obviously the biggest part. But hey, you lose Lewandowski, you get Aubameyang. That's not a bad drop off. Aubameyang won the Golden Boot under Thomas Tuchel, so scored the most goals. What really hurt Tommy T a little bit is that was during Royce's really big injury crisis. He could not stay healthy to save his life. We talked about Dembélé having the year that he had, the breakout year, and then all of a sudden he had a four-year contract or whatever it was, and Dortmund was under no obligation whatsoever to sell him. But Barca came knocking, 130. Tommy T's like, let's keep him. This can be our winger for at least the next. We don't owe him anything. He is a Dortmund player. He's under contract with us. Aubameyang gets involved and says, act like a jerk, act like a spoiled brat. They'll be forced to sell you. Basically, act like a piece of shit. Yeah. And so you have one Dortmund player telling another Dortmund player to act like a baby, put your thumb in your mouth, suck on it. And Borussia Dortmund said, okay, during training camp, when they were in Switzerland, during training camp, they told him to pack his bags and leave and go to Barca. We've just sold you. And I said, that sets a terrible precedent for any player that wants to get out of their contract to just act like a total ass clown. Conduct unbecoming. And you'll get your way. And Dortmund's philosophy was, we just got paid $130 million. And you reinvested it in nothing. They got, I think that was like the Philip Mox money and all this stuff. Maximilian Phillips Mox is a different player. He played for Augsburg, I think. Maximilian Philip from Freiburg. They invested it in players like that. They got Schürrle. They got Schürrle from Wolfsburg. He was already cooked by that point. He got exposed at Chelsea for not being that good, which is funny because he is the guy who assisted Götze on the shot that won the World Cup for Germany. And both of them ended up playing for Dortmund, and both of them ended up being not great for Dortmund, Götze's second stint, and for Schürrle his first and last stint. I think Schürrle retired from football altogether after Dortmund, I think, after 2018 or 2019. He was like 26, 27 years old and retired.
Yeah. He said goodbye. Done. Yeah.
Said goodbye. So Tommy T had a falling out with Dortmund brass, and I supported him in that fallout. He won a trophy on his way out in Berlin. Then I think from that point, he steps into PSG. And then from there, he goes to Chelsea. He gets them to a Champions League final, I believe it was. League on the title, of course. Goes to Chelsea. Backpedals his way into a Champions League victory. So he wins. That's such a weird thing. Like a Champions League, you can't say Champions League championship. It's a weird.
Yeah.
He won the Champions League. So Champions League, how would you say that? That's just
he won the Champions League trophy, maybe? I'm not sure.
There you go. Something like that. It's very weird how it's, you got to get the wording right on it. So he fails up, I guess you could say. He fails up and wins a European Cup. There you go. He wins a European Cup by winning the Champions League. Then he makes that comment that they asked him. This is where it was kind of like you kind of see he's bitter about the Jurgen Klopp thing. And, it was the English media said, you have a losing record against Klopp. And then Tommy T was like, well, but he's never beaten me in regular time. And they said, okay, fair point, but he has more wins against you than you do against him. Yeah, but he had to beat me in penalties. Bro, a loss is a loss. Overtime, regulation, forfeit, I don't care how you do it. Gamecocks, moral victories are also losses. I would love for you to recognize that finally after 112 years of futility. Moral victories don't count. Real losses don't count. Overtime losses don't count. If you lose, you lose.
Yeah.
And you can't make excuses for it. So that one kind of sat sour with the media, and that's where he kind of got this, oh, well, Tommy T is a bad loser because he couldn't accept the fact that he lost to Jurgen Klopp on penalties 11-10. Well, I would say to him, don't switch your goalkeeper out before you go into a penalty shootout.
Yeah.
Because he has a weak foot. And unfortunately for Tommy T, it literally came down to the goalkeepers. Allison, one thing I will say about him, can kick a football.
So he hits his penalty.
Who it was that tall giraffe guy? Remember him?
Yeah, he brought in as a something. He's now back in Spain, but he was the most expensive goalkeeper in history at the time.
As a Bugwatkutakoeka, right?
Yeah.
Comes in, skies the penalty. Misses it by a mile. And that is what ended up costing Tommy T the Carabao Cup.
Yeah.
When you fast forward to May, the same two teams in the same exact scenario. This time, I think Liverpool finished them off 6-5. It never came down. But again, a loss is a loss, bro. I can't help you on that. So he finishes his career losing two trophies to Jurgen Klopp in the same season. 3 months apart from each other. And it's a bad look when you say, yeah, but he never beat me in 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Bro, I don't care. He's beaten you more than you've beaten him, and that's all that matters.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. Besides that, he then goes to Bayern, wins a Bundesliga title again. And I think this is where it kind of sits sour with a lot of people. He won a Bundesliga title after they sacked. Was it Hansi Flick that got sacked mid-season?
Flick was gone. Yeah.
Am I right about that? Was it Flick?
Yeah, they got rid of Flick. Yeah, they said, Flick, get the hell up out of here. You're shit. We don't want you. You're not doing well. Yeah, they fired him very quickly.
Flick got sacked. Tommy T takes over. He basically docks the boat in the marina and waits for Dortmund to do what they do, is an epic collapse against Mainz, and somehow be a goal differential. Tommy T wins his first and to this point only Bundesliga title with Bayern, but he did it in the most non-Bayern way possible. No dominance.
He was handed it.
Yes, he was basically gift-wrapped it because of goal differential. Comes back the next season and literally gets steamrolled by Xabi Alonso and Leverkusen. Is told halfway through the season, your services are no longer welcome here in Munich. So it doesn't matter if you win the quadruple from here on out, you're out.
Yeah.
And he competes for the Bundesliga title basically until about March, I want to say. He was still in it. That's when they lost to Bochum, and that was game, set, match. And then, of course, the Champions League semifinal against Madrid, where I, to this point, can tell you that Bayern were the better team and they lost. We talked about that.
Yeah.
There's a very strong possibility that Bayern could have shown him the door and he wins the Champions League on the way out, beating Borussia Dortmund, because you know how it works out with Borussia Dortmund and Bayern in clutch situations, that, you know, daddy always gets the last laugh. But that didn't happen, Nick. He lost in the semifinal, and so here we find ourselves. How do we think that he's going to do with England?
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, man. I think he'll do good. I told you on the phone, man, I'm scared. I haven't liked England, but it's mainly because of Southgate and their fans. Their fans aren't the most intelligent, and I just, you always hear them bumping their gums. I mean, I just, all the shit talk with nothing to back it, you know, and they always lost when it mattered most. So that's why I always had issues with them. Well, now that Southgate's gone, I honestly think that they could do some damage, man. I mean, I take England over whoever, Argentina, whatnot. I honestly think with that talent, they could beat those teams as long as they have someone at the helm. And now they have someone at the helm who is actually not an idiot. I mean, Southgate couldn't manage himself out of a wet paper bag with scissors in his hands. And we all know how easy a wet paper bag can rip. I mean, you get a drop of water on that bag, it's going to rip. And Southgate would be clueless. He wouldn't know what to do. So I honestly think that when they come to the United States, they will be a top three favorite with Tommy T at the helm. If everyone stays healthy, you know, Jude, Cole, all the guys, I mean, the list goes on and on. There's 12 guys who are probably 80 mil or more. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous the pool of talent he has. And with the squad and with the people he has, we talk about how he likes to use that holding six. Well, guess what?
Yes.
Pick your holding six, pick two or three of them, bring them in the break and make it work, man. These guys, I'm sure by now they just want to win a freaking trophy. If they can't shut up and listen and know that this guy who's won a Champions League, who's won titles, like this guy knows what he's doing. If they can't just shut up and play how Tommy T wants, then they're the ones with the issue. I think this is great for England. If I was an English fan, I would be excited. I just think Tommy T's a genius, man, and he has shown and proved that he can win. And he's just like you said, he's not for the players. He's tactically genius. He's really good at what he does. And I would be worried going against an English side that is managed by Tommy T. Well, guess what? Now it's a real thing. And we could see Argentina or France, you know, I'm not going to say Brazil, but, you know, Germany, all the good national teams, they're going to get their shot against England. And I honestly, I got to say, man, I take England over all of them now that they have some type of decent leadership.
The interesting part is, wait a minute, now that I'm going back, did Tommy T, he took over for Nagelsmann. That's who he took over for.
Was it Nagelsmann? Who did Flick? Where was Flick at? Did Flick get fired from the national team?
Flick was in the national team.
We got it mixed up. So it was the national team.
Yes, got it. Yes, I got my years mixed up because Flick took Bayern to the treble or whatever it was, the COVID season. And then he almost immediately got the job with the national team.
Yes.
And that's where Flick was with the national team. He got the sack there.
Yes.
He failed up to Barcelona.
Yeah.
Then Tuchel took over for Nagelsmann, who failed up to the German national team.
Yes. Yes. So we just got it.
Tommy T has failed up to the English national team.
Yeah. So it's funny. Those three German managers just all, it's like a carousel.
Look at what Nagelsmann has Germany back on track. They won both their games this international break. They're doing well in the Group A for the Nations League.
Yeah.
Things are looking up and up for Germany. They did really well in the European Championship. They only lost to the eventual winner, Spain.
Yeah.
And they played well in that game. They did get the equalizer. I mean, Germany's looking good. Flick has taken Barca to extraordinary heights so far this season.
Yeah. First place
in the league. So it's Tommy T's turn to be the trifecta of those.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think he can, man. I have all faith in the world. And, you know, it's kind of hard to, now that I think about it, it's like, it's so hard thinking about rooting for a team that I was against so much. But the thing
you really did. You were really brutal on England.
Yeah. Well, the thing that bothered me most is gone now. But, you know, we're creatures of habit. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to set that aside. But I want to see. The fans still bother me, but my footballing mind, how can you not think that this is going to be a better side with Tommy T? And to say that means that better side, well, hell, they just lost in the final. So that means if they're better, they should win those finals. You see what I'm saying? So
do you think that with Tommy in charge now, do you think that some players that have been favored by Southgate that were kind of like his biased picks for the 23? Do you think that Tommy will not call those players up again? Do you think there's some players that we're not thinking about in England that will get the call up as opposed to?
I mean, we'll never see Rashford again. We'll never see Harry Maguire again. Pickford's probably done.
You don't think we'll see Maguire?
No, man. No, Maguire didn't get called up. Bro, listen to this stat. You can correct me. What was it, 1970-something, the last time a United player?
Oh, yes. God, I'm glad you brought that up. The last time that a United States, the last time that an English lineup came out without a single Manchester United player on that team sheet was 1976 until this past Sunday when they played Finland.
Yeah, so think about it.
Almost 50 years, no single English team sheet did not have at least one United player. And now with that streak, and that says volumes for your club, United have fallen that far.
Yes. Yes, man. And that's, well, that's, yeah, that's a whole nother thing with the United. I mean, how bad they're falling, but
the reason I say that, you would think that a healthy Manu gets called up by Tommy.
Yeah, now he will. Yes, I think he will. He'll be the one solid because he's only 18 or 19 and he has a boatload of talent. So Tommy will use him, and I think he'll at least go. Now, if he makes that starting 11, who the hell knows? But there, to answer your question, man, there's a lot. There's three or four names that we can just call out that we know will not ever be seen again because Southgate – and a lot of people say this, Southgate was the guy who was friends with the media, with the players. He was always there for the story. He was always there answering the questions, you know, and he was more so for the media and for the players. Now, he called up people who should have never been called up, and we all knew that. The public knew it. The world knew it. But because Southgate was buddy-buddy, he had Harry Maguire, who's trash ass for United, who are in 14th place.
Right.
He had them playing, and you knew that they should not be called up. I mean, this is common knowledge, but because of the player and manager relationship, they got that call up. Now that is gone. We will not see Rashford. We will not see Maguire. I also believe that they are making a change in the keeper position also. Pickford was good 10 years ago. And he was still a little bit questionable then. They just didn't have anybody.
Right.
So now we saw it in the last match. We saw Crystal Palace's keeper
Henderson.
In the goal.
And
on the bench was – who was on the bench? Pope. Nick Pope, who is also a very good goalkeeper. They have good keepers. I think those three names we'll probably never see again on the national team. Rashford especially, and especially Harry Maguire, big doofus. I mean, God, he won't even start for his club team, let alone the national team. And it's funny, they were trying to get rid of him, Maguire, and West Ham almost got him, but they weren't willing to pay enough money. And it's like, United, you are idiots. Just get rid of him. Anyways, that we could make a whole show about United. You know that. But there is players. My friend, we will never see with that Three Lions kit on again. And Tommy T, he said it in the press conference. He is a short-term guy. That's what he's shown. He doesn't like it. But when they asked him and said, hey, how do you feel about the 18 months? He said, well, you know, I'm kind of known as a short-term guy. Everybody laughed. But he said he's working on his long game.
Right.
So, you know,
that's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Dude, the place bursted. I mean, it came up on my YouTube. I was listening to the whole press conference because it's England. You know, he's speaking in English. So thank God I can understand it. You know, being that, excuse me, half the time at work, I don't understand what people are saying. So I would love to understand what people are saying on my free time. I understood his press conference, and he was really likable. He's a great guy. I mean, he said he's working on his long game. In 18 months, they're going to revisit this. And if I'm not mistaken, in 18 months, let's see, what would it be in 18 months? So October, would that be World Cup time, or is that right before the World Cup? So
that's basically, that's So the World Cup from that would be the World Cup. Yes, that would
be, including April of 2026, right before the World Cup, will be when they sit down and discuss if they're going to let him play. Now, that's so close to the World Cup that you got to think, why would they do 18 months? It probably should have been 2 years. But that probably gives them the option that if he is that shit, they can just get rid of him and let in somebody else, you know? But there's just no way Tommy T's going to screw this up, man. I would honestly say Argentina, England, maybe Spain, Germany, like they are top five to win the cup. Now with Tommy T, they're definitely first or second.
So in this lineup that we had on Sunday, for example, I'm going to give, so Dean Henderson in goal. You have Gooey at the number at the center back with John Stones, and you have Kyle Walker and Trent on both opposite sides at fullback. In your midfield, your number sixes, you have Gomez and Declan Rice. And then your midfield, your wingers consist of Jude, Cole Palmer, Jack Grealish. Jack Grealish had a pretty good game as well. And he had fantastic individual effort on the very opening goal in the 18th minute, I believe it was. Harry Kane up front. And yeah, 18 Grealish. Alexander Arnold. So, and here's the thing. Here's the thing you and I both said, and this is the thing, like some of this stuff has to be ironed out with Thomas Tuchel, right? So Trent hits a free kick that is just a beautiful, beautiful set piece play that is just God's gift to gold feet, and something has touched Trent's feet, and they are weapons of mass destruction on a football pitch. It was an absolute bullet. You and I jumped off the couch when we watched it. And I mean, audible, whoa, like, you know, we were like, holy shit, he blasted that, right? Any keeper, Buffon, prime Buffon, does not get that ball. But here's the thing. Are you okay starting a player who might do that for you once every 8, 9, 10, 15, 20 matches? Because you have to get a free kick in that part, on that side of the pitch, in that spot, where it's a scoring opportunity, and you're not going to hit all of them. You might hit 2 out of 10 or 3 out of 10. I mean, that's why it's such a skill, is because it's really hard to do.
Yes.
Right back or left back, depending on. So he was playing at left back on this particular day. Kyle Walker was at right back. Trent was at left. Doesn't matter where you put him as a fullback. A fullback who can't really defend that well. He's okay. He's an average defender, but he's not great. Your midfield, like I said, you have, if you're, you know, your two number sixes are Gomez and Rice, and he's not going to usurp Grealish, Bellingham, or Palmer in the midfield where Jude's got that spot. I mean, clear as day. And then Palmer is just one English player of the year. And yeah, Trent is such a perplexing, it's just a weird place because it's like he's too weak to be this position, but he's too strong to be that position.
Yeah.
But you can't really mix the two. So what do you do with him? And then he scores a set piece like he did on Sunday, and you're like, yeah, that's why we got him. But again, you can't depend on, like, you don't know match to match, that situation is not going to come up.
Well, you know what it reminds me of? And I mean, we do have Americans that listen. We have all kinds of people listen, but another sport, it almost reminds me of like that sixth man. Like, you remember like a sixth man, like you want to pay him a lot because you want him there, but should he really be starting? You got to remember he was the sixth man coming off the bench. He was the best. But you get what I'm saying? Like, he's a specialist. And he has those special techniques and special things he can do, but maybe he's not worth all that money because he can't really do everything you need, like start the game. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, we talk about it all the time with Trent. Do you really want to pay him 400 grand a week just because he can make you a free kick goal every 5 to 10 matches? Like, Is that really what you want to pay him for? So it's I agree with you, man. It's hard, and Tommy T is so smart in the game and tactically sound. You got to think he can figure something out. Maybe he figures to pull Trent up a little bit and plays the correct formation where he can be used properly, and someone on club level can see this and get it figured out. But I mean, from what you tell me, he's not going to be at Liverpool. So I mean, who knows, I mean, man?
He's got a contract that's expiring with no renewal in sight, and talks have stalled. So I'm just telling you what is fact is that in 2.5 months, he is going to be as much a free agent as you and I.
If he doesn't sign an extension.
He is cleared to talk with other clubs come January 1st, 2025. That is 2.5 months away.
Yeah, just
the salary that he wants, reporting it, is something that Liverpool is not willing to offer him. So
well, that's why I bring it up, is because you're saying he wants some extraordinary amount, and you know Liverpool's cheap. So I think
he wants 250, if I'm not mistaken.
And you think Liverpool definitely won't pay it?
No. Yeah, I don't think they're going to pay him 250.
They are very cheap. I know that. I mean, we talk about what they bought one guy who's already hurt. I mean, they just don't spend. And I don't know, man. I mean, we like I brought up United, we could turn this into Liverpool talk also. It's just Trent is so good at his few things, but the one thing you need him for mainly, you bring up this example all the time, is Vinicius Jr. in the Champions League final. He's getting burned by because he can't defend properly.
Right. And that's a great point you make. Let's talk about this real quick.
Yeah.
You can be a jack of all trades and a master of none, or you can be a master of a few and below average at everything else. The problem is, I don't have a problem with Harry Kane being a piss poor defender because he's an outstanding center forward.
Yeah.
So what he is on the pitch to do, he does extremely well for both country and club.
Yeah.
So I don't give a damn he can't defend. Trent is a fullback. Fullbacks have a responsibility at some point in matches to defend. They are in the back line. They are in the back four.
They're part of that back four.
He is not an out wing back. He is not a midfielder, and he certainly isn't a winger or a left mid or right mid that's in a 4-3-3, kind of like Mane and Salah were to Firmino in Klopp's early years. He is a right back at the end of the day. Yes. And the better defender on Liverpool's bench, they have a young kid right now who is just scratching it, itching at the bit, Connor Bradley, to take Trent's spot because he's a better defender. But what he isn't better at, set pieces, precision passing.
Yeah.
The thing is, but therein lies the problem. And I mean, you could say, well, if Slot wanted to, here's where you can try your experiment. But again, you put Trent in the midfield in Liverpool. He doesn't get in that midfield, Nick. He's not good enough to take away McAllister and Szoboszlai because they do midfielding better than he does midfielding. Yes, he can add certain aspects of it. But yes, if you have, and I'll just name like a Rashford with that kind of pace, or as you named, Vinicius Jr., because Rashford has cooked Trent before too. Let's not pretend he hasn't.
Yeah.
Rashford, with his pace, one thing you can't teach and one thing he can't screw up is pace. He has that in abundance. Rashford has cooked Trent before because he is fast. He gets back so quickly, and that is what cost Liverpool, in this particular instance against Vinny Jr., the 2022 Champions League final. Yeah. Is because Vinny Jr. cooked Trent that one time on that one counterattack, and that was the end of it.
And got
so
all the way
you
down.
Have to ask yourself, is it, and so if you can't take away Curtis Jones or McAllister or Gravenberg or Szoboszlai's midfield, and he's not gonna take away Szoboszlai. I mean, Gravenberg, because Trent's not a number six. At best, he's a number eight. He's also not gonna McAllister is the glue that holds the midfield. He's absolutely Liverpool's best midfielder at this point. So there's not even a reason to talk about it. And he's not going to be a rotation player. He's not going to be in the squad. He's going to be a starter. So
I
would ask you, so the place you want to go, Trent, where is that? Real Madrid? How do you think that if you can't start for Liverpool, that you're going to start for Real Madrid?
Yeah.
I would ask that question as a follow-up. But it's a so this goes back in the English national team. The midfield that Tuchel is inheriting, Trent's also not going to take away those positions from the players who currently occupy them. And furthermore, Southgate already tried that and it didn't work.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, good point. Yeah, that he did.
It's a huge conundrum, man. And that's the reason. So basically Liverpool are saying, okay, I want to name this example. This is a really good example. Dennis Rodman was the best rebounder in the NBA and the best pound-for-pound defender in the NBA when he played. Average at free throws, terrible at offense. I mean, I guess for his power forward, maybe average passer, but elite defender, elite rebounder. But he was paid to be an elite rebounder and an elite defender.
Yes.
Trent is kind of a specialist like that, but he wants like Jordan Henderson type of money when Hendo was still at the club, like that, where Hendo was not only the captain, but he was English player of the year.
Yeah.
And I think 2020 or 2022, somewhere around there, Hendo won Premier League player of the year, Premier League team of the season, won every award you could win, best number six in the country, starting for the national team, captain of the national team before Harry Kane took it over.
Yeah.
You can't demand Henderson money when you don't do all the things Henderson does. Yes. Are you a better passer than Hendo? Yes. Are you a better free kick taker than Hendo? Yes. But you're not a leader of men. Hendo was your backup when you couldn't get back for Liverpool until his legs failed him. So it's a puzzling thing. He's going to end up, what's going to happen is he's probably going to end up Real Madrid on the bench like David Beckham was. And maybe in 3 or 4 years when he's past his prime at 31, he'll be begging Liverpool to come back for 150 a week. And they'll tell him, we'll give you 125.
Yeah.
And at that point, they've already got their right back reply. Connor Bradley's already well into that. Like, it's greed and hype from his agent or whatever you want to call it. And possibly even from the Twitter community. I don't know. I don't like LFC Twitter is more in favor of just pay him what he wants.
Yeah. It's literally a conundrum, man. It's like, you know, Isaac Newton under the tree trying to figure out gravity, dude. Like the apple hit him in his head. You know, it's just trying to figure this out is insane because you're right, man. In the grand scheme of things, he is a defender and he cannot defend. So it's kind of just like, what do you do, man? It's a really hard one. I'm telling you, if they can't figure out a way to use him and keep it to where he doesn't have to defend as much or something, I would say to move on. You know what I'm saying? But Trent has been instrumental to a lot that has been Liverpool these last few years, and he's a Scouser at heart. You know that. Like it's all, you know, well-known stuff, but in the end, you're right. When it comes down to him having to get back and cover Vinny or cover someone running down that side, could you imagine Doku against Trent?
Well, just thinking about that as a matter of fact, that specific player, it's like almost you read my mind. It was literally telepathy or whatever it is. Or
could you imagine him trying to go run down the pitch with Doku?
Doku would be three step overs
and then be gone.
Step overs, a body faint. And he's passed him like he wasn't even there. Like it's wind blowing past the tree.
Yep. Tortoise in the hair, gone.
Yeah. And so here's the thing I wanted to say. When Klopp's 2018 to 2022 Liverpool, that 5 years period, when they were at their, in their primes at their peak, everyone covered for everyone else's weaknesses and deficiencies. And Hendo and Fabinho were the insurance policies to Trent's lack of defending. He didn't have to be. He could be a forward. He could be an overlapping wing back or right back that only has to focus on ball distribution, pinpoint passing, and set pieces like he is. But when Fabinho is cooked before he's 30, and Hendo is on the other side of 30 and his legs are fried, and those players can now no longer be that insurance policy for you, you have to then be a defender, what you're paid to be, is a right back.
Yeah.
And Trent has never been an elite defender. He never will be an elite defender. That's the thing. So, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you even better than Joao Cancelo? Are you that plays the same position? Are you better? Like, you have a guy who plays fullback at Inter, DeMarco, who is a million times better than Trent at defending.
Oh, God, yeah.
He put Haaland in his pocket.
Yeah, absolutely.
Those are the guys you pay $250 to play right back or left back.
Yeah, because they can do that job.
They can do that job, and they don't. And DeMarco does not need your help.
Yeah, no, I know. And that year, Liverpool were so good. Everybody did exactly what you said. Everybody covered the other's weak spot, and it just blended perfectly.
Right.
And when that disappeared, you got to see how bad Trent was at really defending, and we all saw it against Real Madrid. And it was on the front page, you know, just here it is. I can't defend. And now he's demanding all this cash. And unless you can find a proper way to use him and get it to where Jeremy Doku can't cook him running down that side, then maybe it is time to let him go. You know, it's just a hard one, man.
Yeah. It sucks because he's Liverpool native, born and bred. Him leaving hurts more than VVD and Mohamed Salah does, because he's a Scouse and this is his boyhood club. And so you hate to see someone like that move on when it's a matter, it really is about greed and about money. Player wants to get paid, club wants to keep it under a certain amount. And I understand both sides, but I mean, there's a point where I can certainly criticize Liverpool for being cheap asses, and I will do that. A la Bellingham, a la all the players we've named over Jack Grealish, they wanted him, Casado. The list is a long list of players. We say this every week on this podcast about who the players that Liverpool want and didn't get, and Timo Werner. So that's fine, but like, this is a guy who, there is, I believe, a ceiling on the amount that he should get. And it's up to the player to understand, if you go somewhere else and get more, are you really going to be happier there?
Yeah.
There is a spot in Arne Slot's Liverpool for Trent for years to come. And if it's really a matter of $50,000 a week, you're still getting paid $200,000 a year if that's Liverpool's final offer, $200K a week, every week, for the next 4 or 5 years. I mean, God, you can't live off that.
Yeah.
I mean, I know, like, well, it's still 50, it's $50K a week. Like, okay, but you can, like, the grass is not always greener. How many times do we see free agents go somewhere and they regret it? They regret it so much. They are miserable. Most times, in fact, it does not end up like Tom Brady in Tampa. It does not end up like that. It's almost always the opposite, where your club that drafted you, if you're an American sport, or your club where you came up, or the club that purchased you and where you became a solid senior team player. So Mauro Icardi. Mauro Icardi has never been the same since he left Inter. Never been the same.
No.
He was winning Campo Canonieris. He was winning Golden Boots in Italy, Serie A. And he went to PSG, and then he went to Galatasaray or wherever, and he's never been the same. It's most often you are never the same. And you can talk about pretty much any player in Saudi Arabia who's left Europe to go there and play and make that exact same argument.
Yeah.
Very rarely does it work out where a Pulisic leaves the Chelsea, goes to AC Milan, and then conquers the world. That is not that is not the rule. That is the exception.
Yes.
So buyer beware. I mean, Trent can go to Bayern, or Trent can go to ask Sadio Mane how that panned out at Bayern for him. He left Liverpool to go to Bayern. Ask him how that worked out.
Yeah. No, absolutely, man.
For 50,000, I could say, like, oh, you could say this easily, you know, from where you're sitting. For 50,000 pounds a week, if I'm still making 200 pounds a week every week, all 52 weeks for 5 years, I would rather stay at my boyhood club, win more English titles, contend for Champions Leagues.
Yeah.
But do it in a red shirt and know that the fans adore me.
Yes.
And retire a Liverpool icon, as opposed to in the middle, you become the next Michael Owen, bro. Like, seriously. Yeah. Do you want that stench on you?
Yeah, is that the route you want to take, Trent? Yeah, it's a good question.
Go from Liverpool to Real Madrid and become irrelevant.
Yeah, it's hard to think about him leaving Liverpool. It really is, but you know, I know they won't pay the money. I'm just, you know, no, I'm waiting.
When they say they're not going to pay you, they mean it. They're not going to pay.
Oh, bro. Yeah. No, dude, we listen, the who's who of who could have been Liverpool is absolutely insane. Liverpool would be unstoppable if they would have gotten all the people that they were 20 million away from getting. They would literally be unstoppable. And what's crazy is I wish and I hope that they know that. Those guys who are like, no, we're not going to spend it. I mean, they could have won multiple Champions Leagues, 2, 3, 4 in a row. Like, we both know this. I mean, the list goes on and on. And if they let this one go for that measly little amount, sure, 50's a lot to us. But to him, you know, just like you said, it's not too crazy to kind of suck up and take that little bit of loss to stay that legend that you could become or that you already are. I mean, I agree with you, man. And I honestly think leaving would be a huge mistake. I'm just waiting for that text of your link of him deciding to sign for like Liverpool. I mean, for Real Madrid or something.
And the other,
I hope it never comes.
Yeah. And the other thing is, we've taken up so much time with Trent is the fact that VVD and Mohamed Salah are also up. Their contracts are in June. So, and then on January 1st, they can both negotiate with other clubs. And
well, I want to say, man, 2 hours ago, the New York Times, oh my gosh, they have made Trent a priority target. Real Madrid have. And they've publicly come out saying it. They want to get a new right back. And they have considered Pedro Porro from Prong, and Trent is the number one target. So yeah, man, you're probably right. He probably will be sitting on Real Madrid's bench. And Real Madrid are in a position where they're not in first place, and their midfield and their line does look a mess. So this is something that they could possibly need. It's just thinking about what Liverpool could possibly be missing.
If Xabi Alonso goes to Madrid, he'll take Frimpong with him.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking in my head. Like, this year, they could get Trent, and the next year, Frimpong would leave and follow Xabi to Madrid. Yeah. Well, if they have Trent, they might not need him. About
Liverpool, too, is they are – This has come up. This is getting more and more smoke where there's fire, bro, because I have now read what started off as one article. I've now read multiple articles, and they hide the player's face because they want you to click on it, right? And I already know who it is when I click on it. But it looks like Liverpool are targeting Mr. I blew it in the Champions League final, Mr. I'm not clutch, Mr. Big game scare the shit out of me, Mr. I disappear and become a shadow against daddy, but I will score a hat trick in a Champions League game against Celtic, and that is Mr. Adeyemi from BVB, Borussia Dortmund. And the rumor around the sewing circle is that he will be the potential replacement for one Mohamed Salah. Now, I cannot begin to tell you the amount of clutch you're losing, the amount of goal scoring you're losing, the amount of just talent that you're losing. Yeah. Adeyemi, I've watched him come up, and he's blown some big moments, man. I mean,
yeah.
He does not have the ice water in his veins. He doesn't. And
no, he's not Matty Ice. He's not Matt Ryan. He's not Cole Palmer.
That is the very definition of a budget buy.
Yes.
And that's Dortmund Liverpool. Are happy. Look, if Liverpool are going to pay that to bring, and Dortmund's not going to, they're like, dude, please take him. Like, Dortmund are not, it looks like there's very little, if any, resistance because I think
they
know.
Yeah, there's no resistance. That should tell you all you need to know.
And the only thing I can think, Nick, is the reason is like maybe Arnie Slot's like telling Michael Edwards, like, if I get him, I can fix him.
Yeah.
If I get him, I can work with him and I will make him lethal. He will be the guy that not misses a shot against Courtois to win the Champions League. He will belt Courtois in the face and the ball will carry Courtois into the goal and the goalkeeper will be knocked out, concussed, and we score a goal all in the same play. That's the only thing I can think of is that I'm going to take him from this scared little boy to this lethal killer under my leadership as the head coach of Liverpool. That's the only thing I can think of is that he's like, I can see the potential. Let me develop it. But if you're looking at it from apples to apples, Mo Salah for Adeyemi, holy shit.
Yeah, that's
what a drop off.
Yeah, that's shopping at Walmart, then going to Kmart, then going to Goodwill. Like you're dropping off. I mean, watching Salah with Edin Dzeko at Roma, then watching him flourish and grow at Liverpool, becoming the player he is, and then losing him and replacing that with Adeyemi, who couldn't hit a kick in the Champions League final. I say that would have changed the game, and they would have 90% won that Champions League final. Going to that from Mohamed Salah is a big downgrade, and all you're doing is asking for trouble. That's it. You're just asking for a complete failure, dude. You're asking for trouble, and I'm when you told me that in my mind, I could talk a lot of shit and say some shit and be an asshole or whatever, not to you, but just to people in general.
Yeah.
But I'm like, let's not do that, Liverpool. Like, don't go the Adeyemi route. I mean, it's a route you don't want to take, especially when you're looking to replace someone who had the production and the prowess and the offensive know-all of Mohamed Salah. I mean, it's just you're comparing, you know, gold to fool's gold, if you ask me.
VVD
was
also a huge loss in the fact that you will lose a great deal of leadership and a great deal of experience. He's obviously not the same player in terms of physical because he's lost a step on his pace. Ever since the Pickford injury, really, he hasn't been the same. But he's also 4 years older now than he was then. That was in 2020, I think the fall of 2020. Yeah. It's actually 4 years almost the day. I think it was October of 2020. So, yeah, he's not the youngest guy anymore. He's got a lot of football under his belt, Champions Leagues, Premier League, international, going deep into tournaments with the Netherlands. Yeah. So there's a lot of miles on those legs, but he's a center back. And you know, like Sergio Ramos played deep into his career. You can make it.
Oh, God. The Juventus partnership. You remember the Juventus partnership?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. So,
Chiellini and
Chiellini, yes.
And what's his name?
Starts with a B. I can't think of his name right now.
Buffon, I think, or so. No, not Buffon.
Not the goalie. No, I'm talking about the other center back.
I forget
his
name.
He went to AC Milan and then came back to Juve.
Yes, and but that partnership they lasted. They
and then he went to Union Berlin.
Yeah. Oh wow. Yeah. They're right. You're right. He did. Yes.
Bonucci.
Yes. Bonucci and Chiellini. Two of the back gods, but they did it until they were almost 40. Like,
yeah.
I mean, what a pairing. And Van Dijk, I feel like he just means so much in the locker room. It's almost like, I mean, we can think of so many NFL players that stayed long that they kept them there for the leadership that they had, and they changed things around them. They changed the game around them to make it to where they could still use them because they meant that much in the huddle. You know what I'm saying? Like, Virgil means so much as far as leadership and leading those kids. that you just can't afford to lose them. And I mean, to have those three guys on the chopping block at the same time is insane, man. They should have thought about this. You would think they'd think about shit like this.
I don't think also that you're going to find a better winger right now than Mo Salah himself to replace him. The replacement for Mo Salah right now is Mo Salah.
Yeah.
You can, I can tell you that I think the world of Harvey Elliott, and I think he's a fantastic young player, but right now I haven't seen anything to tell me that he is a week to week everyday starter in the Premier League. And he is certainly no disrespect whatsoever meant to him. It's a testament to how great Mo Salah's been, but he's not in Mo Salah's in his area code, much less, you know, like a player for player replacement. It's not even debatable. It's laughable, quite frankly.
Yeah.
And Harvey's great to spell him, and Harvey's great for cup matches. But you go find, like, unless you're going to get Cole Palmer.
Yeah.
And I mean that with all sincerity, unless you're going to get Cole Palmer. And I think that the price on Anthony Gordon is way overpriced. 100 million to Newcastle. Gordon's good, but he's not solid good, and he's not 100 million good.
Well, he's English tax. I mean, if his name was English tax,
I would pay 60 for Gordon.
Yeah,
max. I'd pay 60 for Gordon max. Because if Gordon's last name was Lopez, he'd be 60.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. If he was Anthony Silva or Anthony, you know, De Jesus,
Anthony Müller, Anthony Schweinsteiger, Anthony, yes, any of those names. Anthony Gardner,
60K,
like the German version of Gardner.
Yeah, 60 mil. Yeah,
Anthony Henry.
Yeah, yeah.
He'd be 60. Oh God, but his name is Gordon. He's English, so you add on another 40 mil. So that's my point: is that Salah is only 32, and I say only 32 because in Salah years, for as good a shape as he keeps himself in, he's really like 28 or 29. Yeah. He still has a six-pack. He has pace. Is he as fast as he was in 2017? No, but none of us are.
Yeah.
Okay?
No,
he
absolutely
still is an elite offensive player in the English Premier League for a club, for a country.
Yeah, I was going to say,
unless you can find someone better, you sign him to an extension.
Yeah. I mean, and you said they have until the end of the year?
The negotiating period exclusively with Liverpool goes until December 31st at 11:59 p.m. As of midnight January, when the new window opens for the winter, those players are still under contract with Liverpool until June 30th, but they have the negotiating freedom to negotiate with any club at that point.
Okay.
There's 2.5 months for Liverpool, almost to the day, for them to extend these three players.
Yeah, that's they should have staggered them or something, man. Why have all three of them at the same time? You know, that's something I would like to think. Someone whose job it is, you would think about that. Like, okay, we got all these contracts, but oh my God, three of our most important players, they all end on the same year. Like, how you could have not thought about this is just,
I don't know, man. It's really eerie and it's weird. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. It's those are three of the reasons why Liverpool won every trophy there was to win.
Yeah.
In that 3 year period. Between 2019 and 2022, they're the catalyst behind it, right? I mean, you don't, and it's not, it's almost like Liverpool's front office is like, you're like Old Yeller. We're going to take you behind the woodshed and put a slug in you. And I'm like, none of the, first of all, Trent is in his prime. He's just asking for too much money to play the position he plays or to do the things he does that Liverpool thinks he does well or doesn't do enough of. Whatever, that question mark will be a question mark until the end of time, because Trent is just this odyssey that is just unexplainable. Mohamed Salah and BBD are apparently too old, I guess. I know Salah probably wants the same wages, if not a little bit less. But, I mean, like I said, unless you can find someone better to do the things that he does on a week-to-week basis, then you don't get rid of him.
I feel like you just got to pay the guys. Like, don't you just think at some point as Liverpool, you just say, hey, maybe we should just pay the guys who have gotten us here. But for whatever reason, they just can't do it, man. They just yeah. can't. I'll never understand it. I mean, how a team as big as Liverpool, top five, top 10 in money coming in across the globe, it's just crazy to me. And if I was in that front office, I would be the guy who'd say, hey, man, just us alone keeping these people are going to sell this many kits, bring this many chairs into the seats in the chairs. Like, we need to keep, retain them. Or just like Mark says, when you talk about firing people on the United stand, who are you going to bring in to replace them, dipshits? If you want to get rid of this guy, who are you going to get to replace him? So they need to think about shit like that. And I mean, I hate to say it, but they're on the hot seat, man, because Real Madrid are on the tail of Trent. And there is a list of clubs, I'm sure, that would love to have VVD and also Mr. Mohamed Salah. I mean, could you imagine where the hell Salah would go? But I mean, could you imagine what he could do at another club also? I mean, it'd hurt to see that.
I mean, I imagine he would probably go for the payday at that point to Saudi Arabia.
Saudi, yeah, and he'd be close to home. I mean, yeah, you got to kind of take the pay. He's won a lot. He's won a lot, so why, especially at the highest level, why not take the money and take care of yourself? So,
well,
yeah,
you're just going to be your reputation as a world class elite footballer is over at that point. You're going to get paid very well, but the world of football will no longer have respect for you if you're playing in Saudi Arabia.
Well, yeah. See, I can't even believe this. Like, I see a headline that says Liverpool, lining up stunning $134 million deal to replace Mohamed Salah. You know what? I want to stop reading it because guess what? Liverpool and $134 million deal doesn't make sense.
Well, who are they saying that about?
This is the shit you see. It just says that with Mohamed Salah turning 33 years old at the end of the season, they're looking for replacements. And it says that their Liverpool consider their next move with no resolution in sight over Mohamed Salah's future. The Reds are being linked with Real Madrid's Rodrigo, and Real Madrid are seeking a fee of $134
million. Well, that puts into question then why would Real Madrid let a world-class player like Rodrigo go?
Yeah, well, that's why I say this all the time, and I've said it on the podcast with you. Why do you think they let Odegaard go, dipshits? Because he wasn't to Real Madrid standards. If they're going to let Rodrigo go, then maybe he wasn't as good as everyone thought he was going to be. You see, now Real Madrid can also strike out, but this is like what's his name for the Yankees coming up to bat? Like, he's going to hit a home run almost every single time. Like, Real Madrid aren't wrong very many times, but I just read that because that's one of the top articles that come up when you search Mohamed Salah leaving. And we both know Liverpool do not spend that much money on a player. So I couldn't see that happening. You know, now would he be a good replacement, bro? I would like to say this. I think he is very similar to Mohamed Salah.
Oh, Rodrigo's fantastic. That's why I'm questioning why would Real Madrid let one of their best players just walk out the door?
Yeah, and he's one of Brazil's best. Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I don't really put too much into that. But, I mean, I would like that. But bro, $134 million, they wouldn't even spend $80 on Zubimendi. So why are they going to? You see what I'm saying? Like
yeah,
do you really think
the transfer is still Darwin Nunez?
Exactly.
They've never
sits on the bench.
Liverpool has never even come close to 100 million.
Yeah.
So why are we discussing 134? I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Everything can change, right? The weather can change.
Yeah.
Rocky Balboa said everybody can change.
Yeah.
But the thing is, until I see it, I won't.
Yeah,
believe
I don't believe it.
You're talking, that's a 50, I think Nunez was 78 million, 78, 80?
That's, I thought he was 80-something.
Yeah. 56 or 54. We'll just round and say 50. That's a $50 million increase between the current transfer record for Liverpool and then what they would pay. So I don't believe that for 1 second.
Yeah. Nunez's transfer was 75 mil.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's almost 60 million more.
Huh. One of the top searches when you search him is, why did Liverpool buy Darwin Nunez? Anyways, yeah, that's a whole nother. Well, hey. It's just a lot's going to be answered here real soon, man. And when you brought up those three, it was mind blowing shit, man.
Yeah,
it really was.
Well, let's preview real quick, man. We got a couple of big matches we got to look at this weekend. Football is back. Club football is back. And Nick, we got to say right now, starting off in France, Marseille do or die, okay? Montpellier, 2:45 Sunday, second to bottom is Montpellier. Marseille on a skid right now. They are 3 points back of PSG in second, 5 points back. And the reason I bring them up is because they are the hype team this year, De Zerbi, Mason Greenwood, the criminals. You know the deal by now. Yeah. So what do we think? Do we think that finally Marseille can get off the schneid and get a much-needed win against Montpellier, the 17th team in the table in France?
Yeah, they'll beat Montpellier. They'll beat them easily.
Okay, big match.
No question.
Big match on Friday. This kicks off Ligue 1. It is the biggest match of the weekend for that league. It is Monaco and Lille at 2:45 p.m. That is the top team in the table versus the fourth place team. I think we said fifth place team. So top five matchup here, Lille and Monaco. Who you got in that one?
Well, Monaco have to win. PSG 2 points behind. I mean, you got to think Monaco, Lille with David just playing last night for Canada.
Canada.
You know, he's a lot of flying around, hopefully some jet lag. I want to see, listen, anyone who's battling PSG, I'm pulling for, I want to see Monaco win. I mean, I wouldn't mind a Monaco loss, a Marseille win, and then PSG lose to keep all three really close. But that's asking a lot when you're asking for Paris Saint-Germain to lose, especially when they're at home to Strasbourg. So, yeah, that's a tricky one. Well, I do want to say October 27th, we do have Marseille and PSG. So our next show will preview that one. But this match for Marseille and Monaco are huge because if they lose, PSG are going to catch that ground.
Yes, that is that. I agree with that. So a little bit of a nice matchup there to start off in France. That's going to be a big one. Could have some major implications as we start to head towards the quarter mark of the season. So in Germany, we have, of course, the obligatory Dortmund Friday night game. They are at home. Nick, you know the story. Dortmund have not lost a home match on a Friday night in 20 years. Last team to do it was Schalke. They are playing one of the absolute worst teams in the league. This is one that is ripe for the picking. This is just the type of match that Dortmund lose. Nick, are they going to lose to St. Pauli at home on Friday night?
There's no way. I mean, we both know that.
No way.
I mean, if they just scheduled every game for BVB at home on Friday, then they'd win the league.
74%. Yes. 74% Dortmund win. 11% St. Pauli win. So you're going with Dortmund there.
Yeah,
we have a massive match in the Saturday lineup, which is Bayer Leverkusen versus Eintracht Frankfurt. That is the third place team in Frankfurt versus Leverkusen. The defending champs need to keep pace with RB Leipzig, need to keep pace with Bayern Munich. So Frankfurt right now, perfect, with the exception of the opening day loss to Borussia Dortmund. By the way, another Friday night game at Borussia Dortmund that Frankfurt was not able to win. Dortmund keeps that streak alive. So this is like Dortmund, yeah, if they were to play every Friday night, they would be Bundesliga champions, yeah. Invincible record. But Eintracht Frankfurt and Leverkusen, what do you think on that one? That is going to be 9:30 a.m. Saturday at the Bay Arena. So Frankfurt on the road on this one.
I mean, we we need Frankfurt, man. I mean, I'm all for Frankfurt this year.
Yeah.
Listen, I've had my fun with Leverkusen. Let's get Frankfurt some love here, man. I mean, Leverkusen are a big favorite. You could take Frankfurt to win +550. But I don't know, man. We've talked about it. Leverkusen have absolutely no defense. I mean, Frankfurt have won 3 away matches in a row, including their Europa League match where they beat Besiktas in Turkey. Immobile missed a penalty in that match, I have to say, doing Immobile things, of course. But Frankfurt are on an absolute tear this season, and seeing them up top just warms my heart, man. I hope they do really well. And to be honest with you, I've had enough of Leverkusen. I would love to see Frankfurt win. Will they win? Probably not. But if they could, if I could have control of that, I would want them to win. I think that Leverkusen could actually blow this match, though. I think the odds are a little skewed there. And I would like to think you probably agree with me there.
Yeah, this is... We've seen this story this season. The story of Leverkusen's season is a 2-0 lead and then blowing a 2-0 lead very quickly. Yes. They'll get out first 15 minutes 2-0. Then you and I will be texting each other. And by the 75th minute, it's 2-2.
Yeah.
And either draw or they lose, as they did in the case with RB Leipzig. And that is no longer a fortress because they lost that match at the Bayer Arena as well to RB Leipzig. So we will have to see. RB Leipzig are in action. They play Mainz. They're at Mainz. So that's a must-win game for them if they want to keep pace. And Bayern hosts Stuttgart. Now, this is a Champions League side, Stuttgart. Does Bayern have any shot of being upset here? Now, take into consideration, Nick, Bayern are winless in their last 3 matches. They have not won a match in their last 3. So can Stuttgart keep that streak going and give us a better title race in Germany?
I feel like you kind of know the answer to this one. I mean, we all want to think Stuttgart are going to do well. And you're saying before we started recording, you were like, hey, now this is a little bit big. Yeah, I understand that. But Stuttgart have not, I mean, I guess Undav is really kind of taken over and he's doing really well as far as, you know, getting the goals that Stuttgart needs, but you're at the Allianz. Like, oh, it's a hard one. Musiala's out with the hip injury. You know, you got the poacher himself, Kane. It's a hard one, man. I don't know. I would like to think Stuttgart could at least keep it close, but, you know, Bayern Munich -300 at home.
Yeah.
You got to kind of lean with Daddy there.
Okay. I hope not. I really want.
So do I. I mean, I hope Daddy loses every game. I hope they get caught like match fixing or something and they get banned, but that's not going to happen, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, hey, this is Serie A's getting juicy. Don't look now, Nick. Don't look now, but Lazio's in fourth place. In fourth. Tied on points with Juve. And guess what? Saturday, 2:45, that's who they play. Juventus hosting Lazio at the Allianz Stadium in Turin. 13 points for both clubs. In addition to that, Udinese also has 13 points. They play Milan, who are one back behind them in 6. So you have 3 playing 4 and 5 versus 6. This is absolutely fantastic stuff in Italy this weekend. 4 of the top 6 clubs are playing each other. So who you got? Juve and Lazio. I say that has 1-1 draw written all over it. Juve going to drop more points. And I have Udinese losing, sadly. I think Milan's going to snap in a little skid here. Milan will beat Udinese at the San Siro. Who you got in those 2 matches?
I mean, you know, we all want the old lady to go down, you know. I actually don't mind Juventus. I never really have. I one of my first kits was Juventus, but it was before Ronaldo came, man. Ronaldo screwed up Juventus for me. I did not like that move. And I've never really had too big of an issue with Juventus. I actually have a Lazio shirt too, man.
Well, Lazio's funny, fine.
I've told you this story numerous times. I got a Lazio shirt. My buddy saw me in it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I like that guy." And I'm like, "Who the fuck is this guy on the back of my shirt?" And He was he's just the World Cup leading scorer or something. I'm like, yes. Oh, dude.
Most goals scored in World Cup history, yes.
Exactly, and I had no fucking clue that he was a Lazio legend.
Miroslav Klose, for those wondering. But I know most of you knew that anyway. But listen to this.
Yeah.
So you got Juve beating Lazio, right?
Yeah, Juve's only allowed one goal this year. Did you know that?
Yes, but they have four draws somehow.
Yes.
They can't score.
Yeah, if they could score, they would be totally a little bit closer to first. Lazio lose to Juventus. I'm going to say Lazio shit the bed, make the race interesting. And you said Udinese and Milan?
Yes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, Milan's at home. Captain America did not play last night in the loss to Mexico in Mexico. So he will be ready, and he will definitely get him another goal. He has 5 goals this year. He's only 2 off of the golden boot with your guy, the legend, the Mönchengladbach legend, Marcus Thuram, is in first with the Atlantia Mateo forward behind him. But I honestly think Milan will win and Juventus will win, and we are going to make those that first-place race very, very interesting. I mean, I'll tell you what, the Napoli-Inter match is a game that is going to be must-watch TV.
Oh, it will be. It will be. But before we get to that, I have one more game for you in Italy. Inter on the road at the Stadio Olimpico in Roma. Roma, who sacked Mourinho last season. Then they sacked club legend De Rossi. Now they're on another manager. They are sort of in, like, I don't want to say free fall, but my God, this club is in disarray. Do you give Roma any chance at throwing Inter a curveball?
No, not at all. Roma win. I mean, not Roma win. What am I talking about? Inter Milan will win this easy. Them being minus 120 is, we call it free money. If Roma somehow pulls it out their ass to beat the first, second place team in Italy, I would be shocked. They've been in complete turmoil. I mean, they can't beat Elfsborg in Europa. They can't beat Monza. They're having a really hard time winning matches, period. So Inter Milan there. I wouldn't even second guess that.
So this is kind of a boring week in Spain. It really, it's like a lot of minnows versus a lot of big fish. You've got Celta Vigo and Real Madrid. Celta Vigo is at home. And with that, they're only a 19% chance to win. Celta Vigo's in ninth place. They're not completely, I mean, this is a definite position for Real Madrid, who have 3 draws so far this season. They could easily drop points here, not as a loss, but as another draw. And they really can't afford to do that because Barca get 12th place Sevilla, and you have to think that Barca are going to hand Sevilla a shellacking. So I'm going to pick Barca to beat Sevilla. Shouldn't be that big of a problem. They are at home at the Camp Nou. So this is going to be, as they say it here, the Estadi Olympic Luis Companys. So that's going to be a win for Barcelona. And yeah, Sevilla is still down there in 12th place. Like I said, it's a big match in name only. The name of yesteryear still rings true for Sevilla, but they're not doing anything in current present day to keep the illustrious Sevilla Europa League gods and Champions League, perennial Champions League group stage competitors in the focus here. They're very much a shadow of their former selves. It's been 2 years since they've really seen a very good Sevilla on the pitch. Other than that, Girona and Real Sociedad, Valencia and Las Palmas, and Villarreal and Getafe. I mean, this is of all the 5 big leagues, this is the weakest one this week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, Barcelona should easily get that. And if anyone can give Madrid some trouble, it could be Celta, especially home. I mean, you got to just hope that these guys are coming off some tired legs in their international break. Mbappe, with all the drama with France, you know, let's hope he's off a little bit. I would absolutely love a draw. If we can get a draw and a Barca win, that gives them a little bit more space to where it makes the
El Clasico match in Madrid not as important because they lose those 3 points, you know, you're still behind by two. So these are the important matches for Barca, man. If they really want the chance to stay up, then they need to win these games, and they need Madrid to get a few more draws. So very important. I am all for Celta Vigo right now. Let's get the win. Celta, Real Madrid to the shitter.
Okay, so finally, Premier League. We start off with the Espresso Coffee Special on October 19th. This Saturday, we have a London Derby to start off the morning. Get that espresso out, man. Get that coffee piping hot, because it's going to be the Bedshitter Bowl, part two, featuring Spurs and West Ham United, two teams that will break your heart worse than an Arsenal fart. I'm telling you what. This is prime territory for Letdown City. So who is it going to be, Nick? Who's going to let down their fan base more in this one? Will it be West Ham or will it be Spurs? And I will say Spurs are the hosts.
I mean, it is Tottenham, but you gotta kind of think. Big Ange, man. Big Ange is they're looking at him. They're kind of thinking that they could have been over their heads a little bit because of the defense. We talk about it a lot, do we not? They have no defense. If Tottenham need to win, it's going to have to be 3-4, and they're going to have to score 4 goals. I think they can whoop up on West Ham. West Ham has been trouble for them recently. Before, they did lose the last match 2-1, but I honestly think that Tottenham should be able to do damage here, man. Pedro Porro, good assist for the national team. I just think Tottenham got it, man. West Ham, listen, man, West Ham have been absolutely atrocious, man. I mean, they're going to fire boys. I just – West Ham is bad. I give it to Tottenham all day long.
Okay, Tottenham. All right, Ipswich Town versus Everton. This is one of those, and the reason I bring this up, because you're like, why are you bringing these two idiots up? Well, the reason I'm bringing it up is because we have done two feature pieces on Everton in the last 6 weeks, and we said this exact stretch, this October-November stretch, is when Everton, a club that is just not familiar with the words relegation, if they want to stay out of that conversation, they have to get points. It was against Leicester. That's where it all started. You know, those we said it was like a string of 6 matches. Well, Ipswich, they're on the road at Ipswich. I think this is must win. This cannot be a draw. Everton has got to win this match. So I'm going to give it to them. I'm going to let Everton, I'm going to say they win this one 2-1. They get 3 points that they absolutely, absolutely need.
Yeah, Everton have to beat Ipswich. If Everton can't beat Ipswich, then you can expect some trouble. I mean, they've kind of rebounded, if you want to call it that. You know, they have 5 points. The relegation zone is 3. You're still right there in 16th. I mean, if the season ended today, Ipswich would not be relegated, man. So they say Ipswich's home is a hard place to play, but then again, it is Ipswich, my friend. You got to give it to Everton. I would definitely go. You know what? I'm gonna be tricky. I'm gonna say a 2-2 draw, and watch it draw, and Everton will look like damn fools.
Well, yeah, I mean that would definitely make them look like fools. That's for sure. I got one for you here. That's gonna be, and I want to hear what you're gonna say about this one. This has upset written off, but it's not an upset because the team that is favored to lose is actually ahead in the table. So it's 11th versus 14th. It's Brentford at Old Trafford playing Man United. And this is Man United. We talked about this before the international break. Two big draws before the international break, my friend. That was a vote of confidence that Mr. Ineos gave Eric Ten Hag that will keep his job for at least a little while longer. And they have scored a whopping 5 goals. Nick, 5 goals for Man United in 7 matches. They have a -3 goal differential. Brentford have scored 13. I see this as, and I say upset. Technically, Brentford are higher in the table. They have scored almost three times as many goals as Man United. I have Brentford winning this one. I have it. I can see it all day. 2-1 Brentford.
Yeah, 2-1 to Brentford is. It's funny, man, because you're absolutely right. Like back in the day, this would be an upset if Brentford were to win. If United beat Brentford, then it's an upset because Brentford is the better side. They just beat the Wolves. Brentford beat United 4-0. I think it was two seasons ago to welcome Mr. Erik ten Hag into the year. And I'm telling you, Brentford is not in this turmoil that United is in. Brentford is not that bad of a side. I honestly think that Brentford could pull out the win here, man. I really do. I'm going to go, just because United can't really score, I'm going to go 2-0 Brentford. Let's see how close I get.
Yeah, I can't argue that point with you at all. I think you nailed it on the head. Two more to go. We have this is both of these teams are in play on the same day. Sunday morning we get kicked off immediately with the last place team in the Premier League, Wolves against Man City. I got Wolves all day losing this one. They're at home. I think Man City probably come out, win this one 3-1, 4-1. Man City will concede. They like to concede, but they also will bullet you and put four or five past you if you are not careful. Wolves simply don't have the firepower or the manpower. And then the delicious dessert after that breakfast that we have, or the massive, massive matchup of the weekend, is going to be top five. It's Liverpool hosting Chelsea. So this is at Anfield. And I would say this, even more so than the United match, Nick, I think United obviously by name is the bigger rival, their arch rivals with Liverpool. But I think based on where the teams are in the standings, Chelsea's in the top four. Liverpool is top of the table. They're separated by 4 points. This is the biggest match so far of the Arne Slot era. Can he pull it off at home against Chelsea, who are on fire right now? They have not lost a single match in their last five.
Nope. Yeah, they have not. Do you think Liverpool will get the win? Is that your prediction?
If it weren't for that Nottingham Forest match, I would say yes, but I could see this honestly being a draw. I really could. I could see it being 2-2. But Liverpool's only conceded 2 goals all season in the league.
Yeah.
So it's really hard. I mean, it's hard. Cole Palmer, though, that's the reason I say 2-2, because Cole Palmer doesn't care about your goal differential.
No, not at all.
He is able to belt them past you regardless of who's in your back line. So, and he's capable of a hat trick at any time. I like the way that Chelsea's playing right now. I could easily see this. I think I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw here.
Yeah, I can see it too, man. Picking a side here is too hard. I mean, Cole Palmer has been absolutely insane for what he had 4 goals in the first half of his last match, club match. Liverpool losing that game is to Nottingham, especially it was at Anfield. I have to say, man, at least it's not a coffee fixture, but this is hell of a match, man. I mean, this could be absolute fireworks. Draw is kind of the easier way to go here, but this is Chelsea who have blown things, and defensively there still is a few questions. I'm going to say Liverpool squeak out a 2-1. Liverpool will go up 2-0, and then they'll sit back like Slot likes to do, and then Chelsea will get one back. And it'll come down to the last few minutes. They'll be scrambling. Cole Palmer will make it 2-1. And stoppage time, there'll be a lot of attack from Chelsea, but they won't be able to finish. 2-1 Liverpool. Liverpool hold the lead. And City, who have the Wolves away, are just going to stay right there behind them.
Yeah. Well, I like your prediction more than I like my own. So that's good.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Well, I mean, that takes care of it. We've talked about the main stories. Tommy T to England, Liverpool's big three. Well, some of the three of their big fish, three massive names on the chopping block potentially for January, and looked at the leagues and the weekend to come. So is there anything more, sir, that you would like to add to the show before we turn the lights out?
Yeah, before we cut, put that switch. I want to welcome Pochettino to the USA. He did lose last night 2-0. The game was the United States players were very disinterested. Pulisic didn't play. There weren't starters there. All the L-tree people are just talking all their shit. And it's really funny, man. Like, when you have the chance to win Nations League or win Gold Cup, you fumbled the bag. You sucked. You couldn't beat Valencia, who had their B and C team players, a club team against your international best. You couldn't even beat them. So just be happy Pochettino didn't play his guys. Be happy that the USA looked disinterested. And Tim, yeah, man, I know it's a little upsetting, but we will get it back together and Pochettino will have it back in order. No one really played. So to all the Mexico fans talking shit, you're just blowing hot air, because when it matters most, we know what happens. Jimenez flops. He gets yellow cards for simulating LeBron flops. So that's just how it goes, man. So when you meet the United States in a match that actually matters, keep that same energy, and we'll talk about that next time in the next match when USA plays the Mexico, the El Tri. So with that, my friend, I have nothing else, man. I'm excited to see you all. We're going to try to do something for Colombia, Uruguay in November. We want to get some people out. We want Charleston to get involved with the podcast and with everything football wise. So yeah, man, I appreciate everything from everybody. And, that's it for me, man. Fuck Mexico.
Like a little dig in there. All right. Yeah. Well, with that, we're going to turn the lights out and we will listen. Well, no, we will not listen. We will talk to all of you again next week, same time. Until then, take care. Que se te metió y no te deja aquí a esa nena. ¿Quién fue?